left to us, and I don't think that's a lot of time. Whatever time is left for you as a child of God, I'm going to try to give you an answer for that. And what the Bible says is the solution to the problem. Now, in the last days, the Bible is quite specific that there would be a falling away from the church. The last day falling away from the faith is increasing. It's no secret. You can see it in all of our churches, particularly in Missionary Baptist churches. Why? Because the harlot church and its many daughters have now changed the ancient landmark teachings once delivered to the first New Testament churches. That's why. Many of them still have the correct teaching of how to be saved. But many of those have fallen away from what you are supposed to teach after you get saved. And that is a reason for the great falling away. That's why there's so many different doctrines. The harlot church and its many daughters have now changed the ancient landmark teachings once delivered to the first New Testament churches. What was an ancient landmark? When the land parcels were first formed, where certain Israelis were given certain plots of land inside the particular group of tribes that represented Israel, those landmarks were marked by large rocks, perhaps by posts driven in the ground, but mostly by just big, huge landmark rocks. And they were marked in four places. And that was to be a permanent mark until whoever sold the property to somebody else. But people were no different then than they are now. Back then, a man's wealth was measured by how much land he owned. And the more land he owned, the more he was looked upon as being favored by God. The Israelites were no different from what we are today, in that they thought that if a man could help God and go out and move the landmark, particularly off a man that next door to him that bordered on his land, if that man didn't pay particular attention to what he was given, in other words, didn't have a whole lot of regard for the inheritance, then that man knew he could get away with going over there and moving the ancient landmark. And he could just keep on doing it and 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 keep on doing it. Now, I'll tell you what happened to the local church. The first church was local, invisible. Its head was Jesus Christ. The faith was a teaching of system and doctrine that was once delivered to the saints. And it wasn't long until man began to change the landmarks to where they were moved over from the doctrines of Christ. Until about all that's left in many churches that still teach salvation by grace is the fact you can call upon the name of the Lord and He will save you. But the doctrine and teaching after that is a total wreck. Now, if you don't believe that, I'm telling you, you have an obligation to God to find out if what I'm telling you is the truth. Because you're going to be judged for this, and I'm going to be judged for what I'm teaching. So I want us to go through this very carefully, and I will try to explain from a landmark position what has happened to our churches. In the beginning, there was one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That was it. But man has changed that. Man has changed it to where now we're down to call upon the name of Jesus and He'll save you, and that is true. You say, Well, this has got to be, that's got to be. No. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God and He will save you, ask upon His name and He will do it. But what happens after He does it? Do you want to serve Him? Do you want to live the way He told you to live? Do you want the inheritance? How much of it do you want? What you get of the inheritance is your reward, and it depends on the doctrine that you follow after you've been saved. Today there are many, 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 many groups that have saved people in them. But they are perfectly happy with their salvation, but they do not even pay any attention to whether the landmarks have been shifted. You will be held accountable for that because you know the truth. I'm not talking about going to heaven. I'm talking about what kind of inheritance you get when you get there. That's what I'm addressing. He says, because the harlot church and its many daughters have now changed the ancient landmark teachings once delivered to the New Testament churches, many evil birds now lodge on Christ's tree of life. What was the tree of life in the Garden of Eden? It was a figure of Jesus Christ. That's exactly what it was. It's what it's always been. That's what it's pictured as in Revelation, in the last chapter. Now, many evil birds now lodge in the Christ tree of life. I didn't say they were in the Christ tree of life. I said they lodged on the Christ tree of life and hide behind the leaves, which are the fruit that is produced by the true landmark churches in accordance with God's will. Claiming to be a part of the kingdom, but aren't in it. Do you think there's the kingdom of God and being saved is exactly the same thing? Do you think everybody that goes to heaven is going to be in what's known as the kingdom of God? Everyone that goes to heaven is saved, and they're going to be on the final new planet and the final new earth, and that I am certain of. But where they are going to dwell and what kind of a life they are going to have has not yet been determined. If you don't agree with what I'm teaching, please at least listen. Don't get angry and irritated, because this is something you need to consider. If you consider it and believe it's a bunch of baloney, so be it. But I do not believe it is baloney. I believe it was first delivered to the New Testament churches, and I believe it is just as valid now as it was then. God didn't mean for the church's doctrines to change, but they have. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Go to missionary Baptist churches. Look at their statistics in their yearbooks. See how many have fallen away from the faith. Look at this church. See how many have fallen away from the faith. Look at any missionary Baptist church. Look at any scriptural Southern Baptist church. Look at them. See how many have fallen away from the faith. Many have. Why? Because they do not teach the doctrine of the landmark missionary Baptist church. It has been changed. Matthew 13, 24 through 32. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven, and incidentally, it's called the kingdom of heaven in Matthew, and it's called the kingdom of God in Luke, but there's one scripture in both of them that are the same. It's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are exactly the same thing. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in the field. But while men slept, he came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. The churches fell asleep. They began to enjoy the pleasures of the world. And because they enjoyed the pleasures of the world, they were more than willing to change the doctrines so they could have a good time in the flesh and still believe they were worshiping God. I have a good time. I love the way, the truth, and the life. I enjoy it. I found it. And it's not in the world. It's in the local churches that still teach and preach the truth once delivered to the saints. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. They have been sowing it among us for a long time. We're infiltrated with it. But when the blade was sprung up, incidentally, this is wheat, not corn, and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way, when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, there appeared tares also. You say, are you saying that in God's churches there are tares? Absolutely. Not in God's churches, but nestled on its branches and covered by the fruit that the true church produces, which is the tree itself. So the servants of the householder came and said unto them, Sir, dost not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then cometh its tares? He saith unto them, An enemy hath done this. Do you think because you got saved you don't have an enemy anymore? You've got a bigger enemy than you had before you were saved. You've got an enemy that doesn't want you to give any glory to God whatsoever. He doesn't want you to keep the same landmark doctrines and not move away from them. He wanted you to obey what he said after he told you what to do after you were saved. You say, well, people won't like that. They'll make fun of me. Well, they made fun of Jesus on the cross. They made fun of Paul. They made fun of everybody. They've made fun of Chuck. They've made fun of Patrick. They've made fun of me. So, what? You say, well, you're super special. No, I'm not super special. Neither are they. But we are men who teach the truth about God. And we are men who don't enjoy a lot of people's ideas that we're some kind of devils that are trying to take us back into the Stone Age. And from whence hath it tares? An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go up and gather them up? Now notice what he says, because it's still true today. But he said unto them, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, you reap up the wheat with them. Every church has tares in it. And the more scriptural it tries to become, the more tares try to get in it. The more that God sends into it. And you can't tell them from the wheat until you listen to what they have to say. Because they look just like the wheat. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, We're waiting for the final great harvest. Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, and gather the wheat into my barn. Now, is that what that says? Is that what it means? Yes, it does. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. When it was first formed, it was like a small grain of mustard seed. But the kingdom of heaven has grown tremendously. We have many people who have been saved and will go to heaven and will remain there eternally. But heaven is a big place. It has a place outside of the gate of the kingdom city that is a whole new earth. Many people who are saved, well, all the saved will live there, but many will not enjoy living inside the city because they broke away and followed the teachings of the tares, and they are among the saved, and they will not obey being baptized by immersion by the authority of the local church, nor will they obey the truths once delivered to the New Testament churches, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is grown, it is mature, it's about to be harvested. The true church, the true ones, the true churches that followed the teachings of Christ, that did not throw away the doctrine once delivered to the saints, that still are churches that do not allow the ancient landmarks to be moved. They're awake. They stay awake, and they realize the importance of it. It is the greatest among all of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest
among herbs.
It's kind of not really natural for a mustard seed to turn into a great tree. But it does, compared to what?
And becometh a tree, that the birds of the air, you know who the birds of the air are? They're the tares. They're not in the kingdom. They're not a part of the kingdom. They're birds that aren't scriptural. They don't follow the teachings. They come and lodge in the branches thereof. They sit on the branches. They hide behind the leaves, which are the fruit produced by the true churches. They claim to be God's churches, but they are not God's churches. Period. You say, well, what do you think makes you that? Because we still observe the Lord's Supper exactly as it was practiced in the first New Testament church, and because we still obey the commandments given to the New Testament church, and we still confess our sins before we take the Lord's Supper, and we do these things because that is what the actual commandments are that the Lord once delivered to the New Testament saints. That's what we are. Don't try to make yourself anything else. That's what most of the churches have tried to make themselves. You say, well, do they all go to hell? No. They go to the Lord. Even in the first chapter of Genesis, in the Genesis account, what did it say? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anyone who ever called upon the name of the Lord that was known at that time, they're in heaven today. Meaning they had faith in Him to save them. You say, well, that's not what I was taught. Go over there and look at it for yourself. The devil has sold us a bill of goods that is pure heresy. And in our churches, we have many people who believe they can lose your salvation after you get saved. And I've got some good news for them. Most of them are probably saved. When my son Michael went over to New England, and I had already had a lot of preachers over there ask me, don't rat on me when you get back home. I kept my word. I didn't. But I think by now I probably should, and I have, because it's really infested over there. There are missionary Baptist churches, and they have members sitting over there that believe you can lose your salvation. And when my son went over there, well, they wanted him to teach Sunday school because he was my son. And Michael had just let it go through one ear and out the other, and so he wrote me and said, what do I do, Dad? And I sent him a whole bunch of books. I had them mail special delivery from the ones I picked out. And he told me, he said, Dad, some of these people over here believe you can lose your salvation. I said, are they members of the church? He said, yes. And I knew he was in one of those churches that I had spotted over there. They had moved the ancient landmarks. Now this is done while people are asleep spiritually. And it's just gradually creeping into the church. And those birds, they're not God's birds. They're tares. And they're tares that exist in our churches. And they sit on the branches. Don't change God's landmark teachings. Don't do it. Jesus, and listen, we're about to have a battle over this to the very end of this tribulation period, and you better get ready for it because many of our churches are going to change their doctrine. Wait and see. They're already departing our churches. I'm not saying the people that departed this church at any given time are part of them. I'm just saying this is a continuous process that goes on in all churches. Don't change God's landmark teachings. John 4, 23, 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Truth is doctrine. Spirit is God. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Are you worshiping Him in a church that hasn't moved the landmarks, that's still teaching the truth? Are you worshiping in a church that has held on to the doctrine and faith and believed it? God is a spirit. and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You can be saved and fail to worship him in truth in any church that teaches Jesus Christ suffered and bled on the cross for our sins, that he is alive, and he will save your soul if you will call upon his name. That may seem like a hard thing for you to believe. Believe me, it was when I came up here, but I was wrong. So be concerned about yourself. You say, well, what should I pray for the others? You don't know half the time, so just pray for them. God knows what they need. You may think you do, but you don't. So I pray for them all the time. But I do know that the reason we have so many churches is because we have let people in the churches sleep, and then people have come in that believe you can lose your salvation, and they have accepted them, believing you can change their belief, and you can't once you receive them. What we believe is worth standing up for. If it isn't, you need to go somewhere else. He says, beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. He doesn't mean that salvation is common. He says this thing that we're teaching about salvation is common knowledge. He said it's common knowledge. Well, listen, the Roman road is common knowledge. But you don't have to take people down a Roman road, the whole thing, in order for them to be saved. You just have to preach the truth to them, and they can be saved by wanting to believe it and wanting to act on it. So he said, I gave all diligence. He said, I gave everything I had, and I thought I was led by the Spirit, and he was, to write unto you of the common salvation. He didn't mean it was just a common thing. He meant, we already understand this. But he says, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you. He said, exhort you, that ye should earnestly contend. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm earnestly contending for the faith. That's what Chuck does when he gets up and preaches. That's what Kenneth does when he gets up and preaches. That's what Leonard does when he gives the Sunday school lessons. That's what people that believe in the faith and believe that we have moved the ancient landmarks, we're earnestly contending for it when we try to preach you why it is so important that to realize it has been changed. It wasn't like that when Jesus organized the church, which was once delivered unto the saints. I mean, it was once delivered. That's it. That's the teaching. That's the doctrine. Once that landmark was set on the property, that was it. A man had no right. He would be classified as a tare in this parable because he wanted to change it and leave it out. I realized when I came here, Thomas Marshall McElmurray, could build a great church if I didn't teach anything except salvation by grace and security of the believer. I realized that. You think I'm a dummy? Yeah, I am. But in God's eyes, I'm a dummy, and I finally come to realize that. But I could have done that. I've got enough Irish blarney in me, I could have done it. But what would I have created? I would have created a church made up of tares, and it would have been a hellacious type of situation for me and for them before the judgment seat of Christ. For there are certain men crept in unawares. That's what happened in the early churches. Gradually, as they moved on into the next century and the next century and the next century and the next century, there began to be more and more things that were changed. And they just kind of took a nice nap and just went on, that's fine. We believe Jesus is the Son of God. We believe he died on the cross for our sins. Quack, 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 quack. That's all true. But that's all they preached. And then they substituted themselves for serving God in their church where they were. You say, well, that's exactly what you're doing. But this is a landmark church. We are still teaching exactly what they taught in the first New Testament church that Jesus organized during his ministry. And that he revealed through the New Testament churches what was the truth. Our churches have been asleep for years, many of them, and they're sound asleep right now. And many of missionary Baptist churches are departing the faith, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. You think God understood this? Do you think God knew it would happen? Do you think God knew the faith once delivered to the saints would be corrupted by tares? You can answer that question without me. Ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Do you know that many people that are tares in some churches that have saved members, they deny that the blood of Christ is the one thing that if you don't trust in it, you're denying Him. If you think you have to trust in Christ, you have to trust in the Catholic Church, you have to trust in all the ordinances, all the moving things that have moved the landmarks, that's heresy. And you better not have any part of it. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. That's lasciviousness. And denying the only Lord God. Now you say, well, they're not denying the only Lord God. Yes, they are. They deny the only Lord of God who teaches that He saves completely and utterly by His blood, and you don't have to add anything to it. You don't have to take anything away from it. And He says, now, will you serve Me by listening to Me? Will you take My yoke upon you? Will you learn of Me? And will you find rest and peace? Because I did it all. That's what He's asking. Do you know those churches don't believe that? They think you have to add to it or take away to it or something else. Landmark missionary Baptist churches believe Jesus did it all. He says, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. In Proverbs 22:28. Okay, here we are. Today's my birthday, or was, on June 2nd. I tell you what my commitment is. My commitment is to God. My commitment is to Jesus Christ. I pray that I will never remove any of the ancient landmarks which my forefathers in the faith have set and which is described by the book of Jude. Deuteronomy 19:14. Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of all time have set in thine inheritance. I'm going to heaven. How much of the inheritance am I going to get? That's known as the reward. How much of the reward are you going to get? All of it? Jesus got all of it. Which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord giveth thee to possess it. Hebrews 11:8-10. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. Are you going to obey the ordinances of the New Testament church? You won't go to hell if you don't. But I don't think you're going to get much reward if you fail to, because God has provided a way you can do it by confessing your sins to Him, to Jesus. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. These people that go by the casket and say, oh, he's in a better place. They sure don't know very much about the better place. If they knew very much about the better place, they would be concerned about themselves entering into the better place. But the better place is inside the gates of the city, not outside on the new earth. It's wonderful to be outside the new earth, but it's better to be inside the gates. Go out into an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise. That's where everyone's going. It's a land of promise. It's on a big earth, but it has a city with a wall around it. And inside the wall it has a place where it's better than outside the wall. And in the midst of the kingdom, it has a city
that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. Now notice, this is you. This is me. Jacob, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. That's us. For he looked for a city which hath foundations. You know how many people are looking for that city which hath foundations and don't give a quarter of a rip about it? They don't care about it. They're saved. They believe that they are. And every time they get uncertain, they run back to church and get assured again that they are saved. Whose builder and maker is God. That's where I want to go. I want to be in that city, and I want to live with him. For ye have had compassion, Hebrews 10:34-37, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence. That's what many people are doing. They're falling away from the faith, which hath great recompense of reward. Many people are going to live outside that wall. It'll be great out there, but when you stand at that judgment seat, I guarantee you, you're going to shed a tear. Not later, but then. For ye have need of patience. Hypomene. That word is translated just about the same amount of time as endurance as it is patience. That after ye have done the will of God, it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I came to repentance. I believed in repentance toward God and faith toward my Lord Jesus Christ. So I have the assurance that I will receive the promise. How much of it will I receive? How much of the inheritance I will receive is the reward I will receive in heaven? For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. That doesn't mean Jesus said, oh, it's a long way off. Or the writings here say, long way off. No, it refers to the manner of coming, not the time of coming. He says, when I come, he said, it's going to be quickly. Jude 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Well, here we are. The same faith is still valid. We are a landmark missionary Baptist church. Just because we call ourselves a missionary Baptist church does not mean we are the only one that's scriptural. But churches that are scriptural are churches that still observe the Lord's Supper correctly. They don't do it haphazard. And they still observe the faith once delivered to the saints. And they're looking to live in that city that they believe is real and genuine. I'm telling you, there are lots of churches. I don't try to judge the churches. And I don't judge you. But I warn you that God's going to judge me for what I preached. And God's going to judge you for everything that you heard that was the truth that you rejected. Look at the changes the Catholic and Protestant faiths have made in God's landmarks of his doctrinal teachings. These are all valid. And look at the changes that have been made. Church government, the union of church and state, baptismal regeneration, infant baptism by law, office of Pope, Mariolatry, indulgences, purgatory, saint and image worship, transubstantiation, and celibacy of the priesthood. They just slipped it in. It's easy to slip in because if you take those things and read all of them, you say, what in the world is that? I would advise you to find out. They're preached and taught in this church constantly. Hebrews 10:36-37. For ye have need of patience, hypomene, that after ye have done the will of God, it is not God's will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, ye might receive the promise. The promise of what? The reward of the inheritance. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now, bear this out and bury it in your heart. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Shall I tell you that he will avenge them speedily? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth?
That word is in that scripture. It is in the King James translation, but it is left out because not all the definite articles are translated. This is taste piston, a system of teaching and doctrine, the same as was put forward by Jude to defend the faith. Would it be found on the earth? Not much. Don't you be a part of those who fall away from the truth or those who reject it. If you have trusted Jesus for your salvation and you have asked Him, believing He's alive, He heard you and you're His child. But the hard part comes when you begin to obey what He taught you. It doesn't get you to heaven, but it does determine where you live and the appearance of your glorified body forever. And I'm telling you the truth. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It was the faith. I hope you'll listen to this. We give invitations sometimes. Sometimes we don't. If you are doubting your salvation, you can come and talk to Chuck Trustee. You can come and talk to Kenneth. You can talk to our deacon over there. You can talk to Patrick over there. You can talk to a lot of people in this church, and they'll tell you how to be saved. And so if you want to be saved, just come see one of us. You say, well, we want to talk to you about it. Oh, come on. I'm over there at the house, and give us some warning, because I may have to get up and change clothes and put a little deodorant on. But give us a little bit of warning. We'll do what we can. You say, well, you sure talk plain. My great-great-grandfather talked plain, and that's one thing they said about him. They said Henry McElmurray taught the scriptures where they were simple and easy to understand. I hope his great-great-great-great-grandson did the same. Chuck, would you dismiss us?